Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Valiant Organics Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Shetty from Edelweiss Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shetty.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss, we welcome you all to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call of Valiant Organics Limited. We have with us today Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Chheda, CFO and Executive Director, and Mr. Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager of the company. I would request the management for the opening remark, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all at our earnings conference call for the second quarter of the financial year 2023. I welcome everyone to this earnings call, and I would like to request our CFO, Mr. Mayank Chheda, to take you through the financial and operational highlights of the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call. I hope you had a chance to study our financial and earnings presentation, which have been uploaded on our website and exchanges. Let me start by briefing you on the company's financial performance on a consolidated basis for the second quarter of the financial year 2022-23. The revenues from operations degrew by about 1% on quarter-on-quarter basis and around 3% on year-on-year basis to around 264 crores. The EBITDA was reported at around 42 crores, which grew by around 31% quarter-on-quarter and degrew by around 11% on year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was 15.87%. The net profit reported was around 25.6 crore, which grew by about 52% quarter-on-quarter and decreased by 15% year-on-year. Our PAT margins for the quarter were 9.69%. For the half year ended, the revenue from operations stood at around 530 crore, which grew by around 2.5% year-on-year, with EBITDA declining by around 25% year-on-year to 74 crore and EBITDA margin of 13.91%. The net profit stood at around 43 crore, declining by 27% year-on-year, and PAT margins for half yearly financial year 2023 stood at 8.02%. Coming to the operational highlights for the quarter under review. Despite several challenges, quarter two financial year 2023 closed on a positive note compared to the previous quarter. Although the revenue declined marginally, profitability improved over the previous quarter. Revenue degrowth was primarily due to decline in chlorination revenues because of the fire incident at Sarigam in quarter one financial year 2023. EBITDA margin improved on a quarter-on-quarter basis due to raw material prices stabilizing. With regards to the PAP plant, production output on an average was about 365 metric ton in quarter two financial year 2023, and currently have crossed the 400 metric ton mark, and we are on track to achieve the target at 500 metric ton per month in the batch process by year-end. Pharma intermediaries project is completed with trial runs also done. The project is awaiting the approvals from the government authorities, and we expect it to close by the end of quarter three financial year 2023. With this, we can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Varun M. from Skarniva Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know the asset turns that we can expect from the recently commissioned OAP as well as the pharma in intermediates plant.
Yes, so I was saying that we haven't commissioned it yet, but once we commission, the asset turns would be somewhere around 1x. And that is what we are assuming as of now, but we'll know better once the operations start.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, like historically, we've aspired to grow 20 to 25%. So beyond OAP and pharma intermediates, so like in a 2 to 3 year horizon, what are the avenues that we are looking to get into or grow? So I just want a 3 year perspective from here.
So I don't have a 3 year perspective, but giving an immediate 1 year perspective, we expect we had an incident in Sarigam because of which our top line also has been affected. So we believe that by year end we would somewhere grow by 5 to 10%, somewhere in the 1,000 to 1,100 crore standalone basis. And the year after that, somewhere around 30% is what we expect to grow once PAP fully comes online, as well as OAP and pharma intermediaries.
Okay, so next year you'll be able to give a better view. So
correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smiths Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is onto the margins front. So on quarter-on-quarter basis, there is an improvement in the margins. So for the current quarter, they are at 17%. However, our half-yearly margins are somewhere around 14%. So with the raw material prices now stabilizing, so can we expect the full-year margins to be around like 18-19%?
Yes, so we are definitely expecting an improvement in the margins. Unlike Q1, the Q2 was better, and we believe Q3, Q4 will also be better. Having said that, on a full year basis, we may be dragged down by the Q1 margin, overall on the average, but we are expecting to be somewhere around the 17-18%.
Okay. And how is the trend of the raw material prices like the phenol and the PNCB? So they have stabilized now or they are still in declining mode?
They've softened by now. They have also been stabilizing, so we don't expect it to reduce further. We are probably at that close to the bottom pricing.
Okay. And onto the hydrogenation business, so we were planning some sort of 150 crores of capex into OAP and expanding some of the backward integrated capacity. So that has been completed or still we are
No. So for OAP, we are still doing trial runs, and there is some bit of capex that will still further get into it. So that is still ongoing. Pharma intermediaries, which is again in the hydrogenation plant itself, that capex is done.
And apart from OAP, we were also planning some sort of
No, I think you're referring to OA and PA. That was already done and commissioned a year and a half back.
They have been already commissioned.
Yeah.
Okay. And onto this pharma intermediates business, so this would be completely so given as a captive to Aarti Pharma Lab?
Yes, that's correct.
Aarti Pharma Lab. And onto the PAP front, so is there any update? So like, is there any plan to now shift from batch process to continuous process? Anything has been like, so we have achieved some success over there?
No, so the trials are going on for that, but currently we are focusing on getting to the full capacity of batch, which we almost close to that, achieving that 500 target. We've crossed 400 in the current month, and going forward, by the end of the year, we'll reach 500 also. Simultaneously, there will be trials to increase that capacity and make it continuous, but as of now, we are more focused on getting to the maximum capacity in the batch process.
So this 500 metric tons per month, so this would be achieved by the year end. So
yes.
Thereafter, we can shift to continuous process.
We are trying to achieve that. I will not make a definitive statement on that, but that is what we are trying to achieve.
Okay, okay. And the Sarigam incident, so wherein we had so loss of volume.
Sir,
so this was
I'm
in
sorry
in
to interrupt, Mr. Khetan. I would request you to please rejoin the queue as there are many other participants who are waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manish Jain from Money Life Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, what has been the capacity utilization across our plant this quarter?
Okay, and the next question?
Next is, what has been the hindrance in shifting to continuous process from batch process for the PAP plant?
Can you repeat the second question?
Yeah, my question is, what has been the problem in shifting to continuous process from batch process in the PAP plant?
Okay, so on the question one, we were at a utilization around 60%. But that is given that we've considered unit 2 as 1,000 tons capacity and not 500. If I change that, then our overall utilization for the company was is somewhere around 68 to 70%.
Okay. The second question.
And on the second one, we are facing that same problem that we faced initially. The product stabilization and the quality that we require is not coming through in the continuous one. So we are trying to resolve that. That is the issue.
Okay. And lastly, wanted to understand the rising other expenses this quarter.
The other expenses this quarter, it has increased to a certain extent. I think about 5 to 6% increase, out of which major increase was in consumption in power. There was some bit of increase in labor cost and some freight and forwarding charges. So these were the major increases in the other income and ETP.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Gaurav Shah from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity. So Mike, I have a couple of questions. Both are on PAP. So just wanted to understand the pricing environment for our PEP product. And second one, I think if you consider last two quarters, we are hearing the same comments from you guys on the technical difficulty you are getting into PEP. So can you provide some honest feedback? So what's the exact thing? And do you think by quarter four, we should be able to solve all our problems as far as PEP is concerned? Thanks.
So on the pricing front, PAP's prices have also reduced from quarter on quarter. It has almost reduced by 100 on an average. So there is a reduction, but simultaneously there's a reduction in our raw material cost also. So that's on the PAP pricing bit. On the second question of yours, I think I understand. We do have that same problem and we are repeating because that is the actual scenario. We are trying our level best to achieve the quality, but we are not being able to so far. So the statement that is why remains the same. We are trying. So like I said, I can't definitively say that we'll start the continuous in April, but we still have 5 months to go. We are trying our level best to work things out and get that stability. We achieved it in batch. We are trying to do the same in continuous.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. So in terms of the cost of manufacturing and the margins, what are the key differentiating factors between the batch versus the continuous process as far as PAP is concerned?
So it's the economies of scale that improves, the quantity increases, and that's the only difference that we can achieve from continuous batch to continuous, and the time of the reaction. So there is more time that go into batch than putting the other batch, loading, unloading, which in continuous gives that time efficiency.
So in the presentation, you mentioned that you are targeting 500 tons per month in the batch process. What is the type of, in case we are commercially successful, what is the type of volume we can do once we move to a continuous process per month?
Around 1,000 metric tons.
And the yield and the quality is more or less same, or there are some differences also in yield and quality between batch of this continuous?
No. So once we move to continuous, there's no difference between the yield of final product, but the difference right now that we are facing is that we are not getting the yield in continuous. So we are not moving it, but I think your question is whether we make it by batch or by continuous, does the product remain the same? Then yes, the product and the yield remains the same.
Okay. Second question was on this. I think you mentioned briefly, if you could tell us what type of utilization we can see in these pharma intermediates in the next financial year, because I think this year we are just starting. So FY24 and FY25, what type of utilization we are visualizing for the pharma intermediates, and do we foresee any challenges on the technical front the way we faced in PAP in the pharma intermediates?
So I think we'll probably be at around 45-50% in the initial quarters, and then by the end of next year we could aim at a full utilization.
And what is the revenue at full utilization we can expect from this plant?
We are expecting it to be somewhere around 50 crores.
50 crores, okay. And any sense you can give us in terms of your overall capex for the current financial year and the next financial year?
For the current financial year, we are expecting to do a total capex of somewhere around 100 crores, out of which we are through by about 50% in this quarter. And for the year after, we are still analyzing. We are waiting for PAP to stabilize and pharma and OAP. If they start, then we'll look at other opportunities or where we can put the capex. Otherwise, for now, the focus is there. So we've not gone into the analyzing of where it will go. But we are looking at some new products that are on the drawing table as of now that may not have significant capex, but could be somewhere around 40 or 45 crores odd, if at all it does get successful.
Sure. If I look at our track record, you know, we always reported return on capital in excess of 40%, closer to, and even sometimes 60. It's only 21 and 22 that we saw some reduction because of these new investments and some challenges on PEP. How do you see? Do you see that the way things are shaping up in FY24 and 25, we can again start inching up to those 40% type of ROC levels? And secondly, when you are evaluating some of these projects, what type of IRRs or ROCs you look at before you go ahead and do the project?
We definitely expect to improve our ROCs. I don't know whether we get back to the earlier historic ROCs, because We still have to analyze that because we are right now in the middle of many other capex, many other projects that are, you know, trying to complete. But we aim to reach there. And what was your second question? I'm sorry.
What is the type of IRRs we look at before we go ahead with any large project?
So we don't really have a threshold IRR. We generally look at two things. One is if the product is high in demand and there is an import substitution opportunity. So if there is an import substitute that we can replace by domestic production, that is one thing. And secondly, if there can be any backward forward integration within the company. So those are the actual two main criteria that we look at, and then we build around it. But in terms of a threshold IRR, we don't generally keep that threshold. So we are flexible on that as far as we think that the opportunity is good.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smiths Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So my question was on to the Sarigam incident. So for the last two quarters, we are witnessing that the volumes have been impacted. So this incident was for a period of 6 months?
No, no. So there are two things. One is that the it got impacted because of the blast. Second is when the plant is not operational and then when you start, it doesn't really start. It starts also in a phased manner. So it takes a couple of weeks to really stabilize. And third is the order book also that, you know, where there are certain orders that need to be fulfilled. So the mark, the customers and also there's a bit of lag. And overall, the market demand has been affected in Europe, which is, so Sarigam is mainly our exports. So so that global demand has also reduced, so we've not been able to do a full utilization in the previous quarter.
Okay, so what is the current status? So have we like improved the utilization as compared to Q2,
yes,
or is it at the similar level?
We have improved. We have improved over the previous, but we are also looking at the demand to, you know, work up. So once that increases, we'll again scale up our capacity. As far as capability to scale up is concerned, that is fine. So that is behind us.
Okay. So chlorination actually, so that is majorly used for the agrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, and veterinary industries. So,
yes.
So which set of industries are feeling the pain in terms of demand, as you mentioned?
Agro. Mainly agro. Yeah, mainly.
Okay. And for the last two quarters, so this segment is actually contributing 17% of revenue. So previously, so when there was a normalized situation, this used to so contribute around 30 to 40%. So when the volume would kick in, so can we expect it to again go to around 30-40%?
So it will not go beyond because even PAP is getting scaled up. So that PAP will also come into the mix. OAP will also come into the mix. So it may so hydrogenation as a chemistry will be on the top in terms of contribution of revenue. But yes, from current 17, it will definitely be it will go up.
Okay. And just one last question. So now I believe onto the OAP front and the pharma intermediates also. So by next quarter, I believe so we would be in a position to start the production from these plants. So now what is the next leg of capex which the company is focusing on?
So like I said earlier, we are focusing on these three projects to really start and build up. Once that comes in, our next leg of capexes will come. So probably another quarter or two, and I probably will be able to give you a better comment on this.
Okay, but just to add up.
But on a generalized basis, we do a capex of 80 to 100 on an annual basis.
80 to 100 crore.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashutosh Shirvaikar from Navi AMC. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the line of Mr. Shirvaikar is disconnected. May we move on to the next participant? And the question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Sir, can you share some light on the particular EBITDA margin of your three segments in terms of chemistry, like chlorination, hydrogenation, and ammonolysis? So, like, how to understand that? Like, is there a significant difference in the in these three chemical processes in terms of margin? This is this is the first question.
Your voice went away. Hello. So I heard your first question. If you could give your second question.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So what I was asking, like, if you can guide us regarding the difference in EBITDA margin in terms of profitability in our three main chemistry, okay. Basically, like chlorination, hydrogenation, and ammonolysis, like, what is the difference in terms of margin in these three kind of processes?
Sure. So we don't give out the margin for the each chemistry, but just on a guidance side, chlorination is on a higher side as a margin, and then hydrogenation and ammonolysis are at a similar level.
Okay. So chlorination is essentially a higher margin business.
Yes.
Okay, so like sir, in that case, like if you see if I track your volume which you have shared, like on a year-on-year basis, like chlorination volume is down to from 4,256 to almost 1,962. Is that the one of the major reason for our drop in margin? And once this recover, particularly after your plant opening, like we can improve some improvement in blended margin from that respect?
Yes. So my Q1 margins were definitely impacted because of the incident at Sarigam, and because of which the margins were impacted. But at the same time, raw material pricing were also volatile at that time. Now the raw material pricing is stabilizing, so that will have an impact, which will have a positive impact now on the margins. So it's multiple factors that played a role. It was not only the volumes of chlorination going down.
Perfect. Sir, can you on a year-on-year basis, our ammonolysis margin volume is also stagnant or marginally it has come down. So can you help on that respect, like when we can expect a pickup with that, or like which are the products, like when we will add so that our this ammonolysis volume will go up?
So dyes and pigments as a industry is also facing low demand. So because of that, yeah, the volumes have seemed to stagnated or going down. But as and when textile industry improves, dyes and pigments will also improve, and that is when we'll see some improvement there. But it's a market driven. I cannot comment exactly when that will happen.
Okay, so in that case, like ammonolysis is this is a function of our picking up of the textile industry and dye, particularly dyes and dyes.
Correct.
Okay. That's all, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankur Shah from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Congrats on the margin rebound. Actually extending on the previous questions, like it seems like a demand problem, because if I just think about the chlorination volumes, they have seen a significant drop. Obviously, there is, I think, a 20-25 day hit which was there because of the plant closure. But Mahek or Mihir, can you give us some volume guidance or a volume sort of a scenario? Because from 4256 to 1962, is it possible for us to scale back?
Yes, so by fourth quarter, we'll be back to the original volumes for Sarigam.
Okay. So around 4,000-4,500 per quarter. Okay, and like Neer, can you give us some idea? Because what I understand from a manufacturing of a chemical plant perspective is that, you know, the last 20% capacity utilization becomes a major chunk of your profit because of the operational leverage which the plant gives. So is it the fact that, you know, the utilization levels are so low, because obviously chlorophenol is a very profitable and the main product as of now. So is it that the margins are severely distressed, like, or let's say not severely, but yeah, distressed in comparison if suppose we run the plant at that 4,000 level?
So let me tell you, yes, that is true. To reach the last leg on the capacity, it is difficult, and that is where the profitability lies. So just to give you some understanding, if you look at our previous years, chlorination has been, FY22 was 90 plus utilization, even ammonolysis was somewhere around 85-90% utilization. So we have achieved those utilizations, but currently because of lower demands, we are not able to achieve that utilization. So that is the reason. But once the demand stabilizes, or the once the demand picks up, we'll be able to again move from 60-65% utilization back to around 80-85 type of utilization.
Okay. So in this particular product, because, you know, even if I see the volume that others, obviously the revenue is slightly insignificant, but chlorination, ammonolysis, others, is there a decent visibility that, let's say, in 2 quarters time, we will be able to scale back to decent utilization levels? Because, you know, if that will solve a lot of problems for us.
Correct. So as far as chlorination is concerned, a lot of it is dependent on the export markets, and given the situation in Europe and the geopolitical issue, that is why the demand is not picking up. Now, I really cannot give any kind of comment on when that will improve, but it is mainly based on that. Once that demand picks up, we will scale up and meet those demands, and then it will be back to normal. But I really cannot give a definitive time period as to when that's going to improve.
So it's not particularly because of competitive intensity, right? It is just that the end demand has fallen, and it is not that we are losing wallet share or anything of that sort, right?
No, you are right.
Okay. Then, coming to the financials, what I understand is, because, you know, a large part of our volume is export-related, at least in the chlorination part. What I understand is the freight cost and the container cost and everything has been coming down incrementally. So, do we see any, you know, tailwinds over there from a cost saving perspective?
Yes, so they are improving, you're right. So that will be a tailwind going forward. It will improve. So that is why our margins have also improved, because all these costs have gone down.
Okay, so that is already into the price for this quarter.
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, on the debt front, I understand that, you know, we have come down, we have slightly come down on the debt front from March levels. But like, still from a working capital angle, and it seems slightly uncomfortable or stretched. So what are your thoughts on that? Because it's not great to have this stretch for, because again, you know, with the volume increasing, this is going to go up again.
So we have improved from March to date. So we have come down on our short-term borrowing, but working capital was a problem, because the incident happened at Sarigam. Sarigam is also the good cash flow business. So that was an impact that we had, and also the raw material costs were high at that time, so we faced the issue with working capital. But with all that stabilizing, we believe going forward next two quarters will be an improvement.
Okay. And let's just suggestion, I don't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Y2 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. On the slide, I'm seeing the ongoing capex, which is yet to commission of this OAP and pharma intermediates, where the capex is being mentioned as 15 plus 60, 75 crores. And then, if I'm reading this right, then on the consolidated balance sheet, there is a CWIP of 135 crores. And other projects, as per the slide, they have already commissioned. So, maybe I'm not able to understand properly, but can you just help me understand this CWIP on the balance sheet is related to what project?
So, CWIP on this, so pharma intermediates is approximately 60. It may be somewhere, so there could be a little bit of an overrun there, not anything significant. So, that is a project which has the maximum part in the CWIP. So, out of the 132 crores, I'm talking on standalone basis, out of the 132 crores, about 65 or close would be pharma intermediates. OAP and there are others. So there are other ETP and some other small work that is being taken up that is also playing a part in this. So,
no, but pharma intermediates total project mentioned on the side is 60 crores. It is already 65 crore is already spent. So almost you've spent the entire capex on pharma intermediates is spent, right? Similarly, OAP will be 15. So this is...
So just plant and machinery is actually 15. There is a building and other things also which come into, and it's not simply OAP. So that is the CWIP that is there.
So maybe the numbers mentioned in the presentation are not, full reflection. Maybe next time when you present it, you can present it in a,
Correct. So pharma intermediates will have some change and OAP will also have some change.
Okay. And because there's almost 2x difference between what is in the presentation and what is in CWIP. Coming back to the other question, sir, this so chlorination products are lesser demand. Just on this, just for my benefit, if you can just help me understand. So on the slide 5, you've given the key products. And end-user industries, pharma, agri, cosmetics, and pet. So on the face of it, don't seem to be like too much in distress, but individual products might have some demands in terms of, its specific application. So within chlorination, what are the larger products and what, where exactly is the end-user industry, having issues from demand point of view? If you can give more granular understanding.
So main issues are with agro and textile. So chlorination is agrochemical but export driven, so that is because of the global demand where the issue is with the chlorination.
So which product within chlorination is agri and export driven? There are 4 or 5 products you mentioned, PCP, OCP, 2,4-DC.
Yeah, so no, unfortunately I won't be able to disclose that information as to which product goes where, but I can just give you a broad level that agro, which forms the most biggest part of our chlorination, that is where the demand issue is.
But there will be some specific molecule issue within agro, right? But agro itself is doing quite okay globally.
And it's like I said, no, the export market is the issue. Including.
There will be some molecule specific, right? Your
it's proprietary, so I cannot tell you the specific.
No, but is that a structural issue with the product that molecule has lost market share?
No, these products have been in the business of Valiant. We've been doing this since 2000, so it's almost 2 decades back, and these are the same molecules and products that have been there so far. So it's not the molecules which are of the issue, it's the market demand that is of the issue.
And which geography? Is there a geography-specific issue?
Mainly Europe.
Europe. Okay. So that is agro. What is the issue with the textile?
The local issue is the textile, which is ammonolysis and hydrogenation, both the products. So with textile, it's the dyes and pigments. So our ammonolysis products, if you see, go into dyes and pigments, and our hydrogenation also goes into dyes and pigments mainly. So both these two chemistries are affected because the domestic textile. So our dyes and pigments is the textile dyes. So it's linked to the textile business, textiles industry.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Yogesh Tiwari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question was on the raw material front. So just wanted to understand what would be our dependency on China in terms of raw materials?
Not at all. Most of our key raw materials are sourced within the group. And then there is phenol, which is a commodity product which is standard globally.
And like we import phenol?
We import phenol, yes.
Which region, basically?
Across countries. So it's a very standardized product. So wherever we get the best price, we do it. So it's not really an issue from which country it comes.
Sure. And in terms of the earlier question on the continuous process on PAP, so when we tell that now we'll get the benefit of economy of scale, do we mean that the capacity utilization of the plant will increase because of that?
No. So in batch process, at 500, we are 550, we'll be able to achieve 500. In continuous, which is 1,000, we'll be able to achieve close to 1,000. So as far as utilization is concerned, that will not be an issue. It's just that our volumes will increase and time will decrease. So from that aspect, we'll get benefit of more production.
Yeah, but that will only come in the next financial year, right? This financial year we are targeting only for batch process.
On batch, correct.
And one more follow-up on the PAP. So it's like both PAP prices and the raw material prices are declining. So just wanted to know about, you know, what is the theory behind pricing? Do we have a fixed spread between raw material and a PAP when we, you know, price the product? Is there a specific spread between the raw material and the PAP prices?
So we are in that range. We try to meet our pricing for PAP at China level. And with that, we have that incremental little bit of benefit. Apart from that, with both the raw material pricing going down, the margins more or less remain similar.
And so lastly, on the agrochemical demand decline in Europe. So just want to understand, is it because of some agrochemical molecules being banned in Europe, or is it more like...
No, it's the geopolitical issue. It's the war, the energy crisis, and Europe getting affected overall because of that. And that is why the demand is down.
Sure. And so lastly, on the pharma intermediates which are coming up, the margins of these intermediates would be in the range of the consolidated margins for the company, or it will be margin accretive, better?
It will be standard. It will be at the company level.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may please press star and one to ask a question. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just two questions. What is the type of revenue loss we had because of Sarigam? Or if you could quantify, like from September to March quarter, when you expect to come back to full production, what is the incremental revenue we can expect from Sarigam?
I think on the loss side, quarterly, we probably be somewhere around 15 to 20 crore of impact.
On the EBITDA or the top line?
No, on the top line.
Okay. And
EBITDA we will not be able to disclose, sorry.
Sure, fine. And you mentioned about some 17% margin. That was for the second half of the financial year, or that was the indication for the full financial year FY23?
We are hoping that it will be for the entire year. We are assuming that Q3 and Q4 will be better than Q2. But overall, on an average, we may stand somewhere around 17%.
Because we have done close to around 12.5-13 in the first half, approximately.
So yes, the Q1 will probably bring us down, but we are hoping Q3 and 4 would be much better margins than our current margin level.
And you think whatever improvement we see in Q3, Q4, they should sustain going ahead? There will be more like a sustainable margins, or are you seeing some one-off benefits coming through in second half?
No, that will be the sustained margin. So we'll be seeing improvement because of our raw material cost that is stabilized, and then that will continue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no participants in the queue right now, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Sir, before we could disconnect, we have Mr. Nikhil Shetty, who is in the queue, and he wants to ask a question to you.
Yeah, please.
Can
no
we
problem.
Take it? I'm unmuting your line, Mr. Nikhil Shetty. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to get some clarity on pharma intermediate. So pharma intermediate, we are doing capex of 60 crore, and you mentioned that 50 crore revenue at a peak, which translates into asset turnover less than a one time. So am I missing anything here, or is it because of the arrangement with the group companies? And what will be the margin in this?
No arrangement. We're just being conservative on the revenue side. Even though I've said 50, we see an upside having some benefit there. And as far as capex is concerned, it's somewhere around 60, probably a little more. So all in all, 1:1 is what would be, we believe that we will be able to have that turnover.
And how much margin we are expecting from this product?
We're not disclosing any margin level, you know, only company level margin is what we will be able to disclose.
Okay, fine. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.